Hallelujah. Let's start out with our favorite Bible verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. Now, we've been doing a whole lot of heady stuff lately. We've been talking about the vision that God gave me on earlier this year about the boiling pot, and we've gone through all of that. But I thought I'm going to try to lighten up on you a little bit this morning, not make it so heavy and risky. That was a good series. I encourage you to listen to it on the internet. We've got them all posted and everything, so listen to that. It's called the Boiling Pot Series, and if you haven't heard it, you need to know where this country's going and what God's doing. And if you have heard it, you need to keep it fresh in your mind and understand some things. There's a lot of revelation in that. But I want to begin to shift gears and go toward Thanksgiving today and next week. So I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that good words, good comfort? I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. You know, it's assumed, since this is in Hebrews, and he says in here that He Himself said, how many of you think that Jesus probably said this? Did you know He didn't? Jesus never said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I'm sure I've quoted it that way. Jesus said, it's like, but when I began to search this and this verse came up to me, Jesus never said it. Now you can check me out on it. But he's the word. I know that. We'll get to that in a minute. Don't get ahead of me, honey. But that's a first shocker for the day. Jesus never said, it's not recorded in Scripture, that He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But it is assumed, since it's in the New Testament, but He never told that to the disciples. Now, the first mention of this is in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 through 8. And this is Moses. Moses is 120 years old, and Moses is getting ready to change hands, and he's getting ready to go to heaven. And God's telling him things about Israel and things that are to come. And so the Lord says to Moses, be strong and of good courage. He tells Moses, say this to the nation. Say this to Israel, because you're getting ready to go. Say this to the nation of Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. See, He's telling the nation this. He will not leave you or forsake you. And then Moses called Joshua. In other words, he didn't just call him and say, hey, Josh. You know, he brought Joshua up to the front in front of everybody else. This is a transference of power, transference of authority, the transference of the anointing from Moses over to Joshua. And he says in verse 7, Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. So he says this, God says this twice. He says it one to the nation of Israel, to the people. Don't fear. I'm going to be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And then he goes into an extra thing and he makes it personal. And he calls up Joshua and he tells Joshua, I will never leave you or forsake you. You've got to be bold because you are going to lead this people into the land that I've sworn to give to them. Moses isn't going to do it. Joshua, it's up to you. I'm changing leadership because that generation that refused to believe God has died in the wilderness. This is a new day, a new anointing, a freshness is coming on, and now we're going to fulfill the promise that I gave to the nation of Israel, but they refused it, but now you're getting it. So they've got to have a leader that's able to bring them into it like Moses. Joshua, I'm choosing you. And I'm anointing you, and I will be with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, if you go to Joshua 1:5, we find this again in the book of Joshua. Excuse me, the same type of thing, but this time it's more personal. It's a direct word to Joshua of what is going on here. And he says in verse 5, he says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." And that was personal. Now, it's curious. God says this to the nation. Then he says it, brings Joshua up and says it specifically over Joshua. But then we find in Joshua, God is speaking this directly to him himself. Sometimes you get a word and you want to run on the word, but you haven't heard it for yourself. And in Joshua, we find out that God tells Joshua, because Joshua is kind of, well, what's going on? And God has to tell him, Joshua, Moses is dead. Sometimes we don't get that. That time period is over. It's done. It's finished. You know, we come to areas in our life where that phase of your life is now over and you've got to go into a new life. You've got to go into a new phase. You say, but Lord, I don't want to. You know, in the wilderness, things were pretty comfortable. They really were. Think about it, ladies. Your clothes never wore out. Well, that could be a bad thing for ladies because they like to change clothes a lot. Men, it doesn't bother us at all. You know, if we wear the same jeans a month, we don't care. You know, ladies, I'm not wearing that same dress again. I wore that dress last week. If I wear it again, everybody will say, do you only have one dress? You know, so women are very, very fashion conscious. But think about it, your clothes didn't wear out. The shoes didn't wear out. Every day, God fed them. They didn't have to do a whole lot. God fed them manna for 40 years. God fed them manna. I mean, this was not a hard place. But now the next phase, and whenever you go from one phase of life to another, it's hard. Because you've got to let go of what you held on to before that was comfortable, that was routine, that was normal. And we go through this in several cycles of life, but we go through this often, more often than you think. And every time you've got to let the past go and move on with what is now your life. And you may not like it, but this is what God's telling Joshua. Joshua, Moses is dead. It's time to move beyond Moses, because if you don't, you will always be stuck in the wilderness when I've got a blessing prepared for you. And specifically to Joshua, your job is to bring other people into the blessing. In other words, when you're a leader, it's not about you. It's about where are you taking the people that God has put under you, or God has given to you, or that have chosen to follow your lead. Where are you taking them? That's the issue for Joshua. That's why he says, Joshua, don't fear. Don't worry about this, but you've got to be bold. You've got to be courageous, because you've got to lead these people where I want to lead them, and now it's up to you. They'll follow you, Joshua, but you have got to go. You have got to make that decision to let go and to move forward. Amen? So God doesn't do anything without a reason. In Deuteronomy, everybody knew God was with Moses, but now Moses will not be leading them into the promised land. And Joshua becomes the point man. If you go back still in Deuteronomy 31, if you go back to verse 3, he says, the Lord, now this is curious, the Lord your God himself crosses over before you. This is what Moses is telling the people. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you. And listen, you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. Now there's a bunch of interesting things in that. One, the Lord crosses over before you. Aren't you glad God leads us? Aren't you glad God always goes first? Wherever God calls you to go, he has already gone there or is already going before you if you choose to follow. Yes. I like it in Jesus after the resurrection, Jesus tells his disciples, I'm going to Galilee. And he just walks off, disappears, vanishes into the wall, just is gone. And the disciples are now faced with a decision. Do we sit here and wait and pray that Jesus will reappear to us? Are we going to create a monument here, a memorial, and we're going to gather here every day hoping that Jesus will reappear to us? Or are we going to be obedient to what Jesus says and go to Galilee, because that's where he said he's going? You know, the choice is up to you. You can stay where the appearance was, where the glory used to be, Or you can follow Jesus where he said he's going and meet him there and walk in a fresh glory that is better and greater than what the first glory was. See, we're being changed from glory to glory. Amen. So the Lord crosses over. He says, listen, in 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, he always leads us in triumph. The Lord will destroy your enemy. Now get this, still in Deuteronomy 31:3, he will destroy the nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. You, in other words, you will occupy them. Now listen, God cannot destroy your enemy until you are prepared to occupy what he has held. God wants to. God's willing to destroy him. God's willing to take your enemy out. But if you're not willing to follow and go where God's going, he cannot destroy them because you are not prepared to inherit what God has given to you. That's why it's so wrong to say, oh, God, do this. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God. And God says, I'm willing to do it, but are you willing to go? Because we want God to just do it, and we sit back. Yeah. And then the angels come, and, well, here this is, and here this. Oh, well, thank you. We are called to occupy. We are called to do these things. Again, the Lord crosses over ahead of us. He will destroy the enemy, but we must possess the land that they are being forced out of. Then he says something else. Here he says, Joshua crosses over before you. I like that. Joshua himself. Now, you've got to understand the significance of this. Joshua in the Hebrew is Yeshua. Now, there's a question here. Jesus is Yeshua. In the Greek, it's pronounced Jesus, or how we pronounce it is Jesus. So is he saying this man, Joshua, is going to cross over before you, or is he saying the Christ is going to cross over before you? Because Joshua is a type of Christ. He's an image that God is giving us of who Jesus is. You can follow John the Baptist. You can follow religion. It'll get you to a certain point, but there comes a point. Are you going to follow Jesus? Because he's going over before you. But you've got to choose if you're going to follow Jesus or not. Let's go on down to Deuteronomy 31, verse 5. He said, the Lord will give them over to you that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Now, this is curious again. The Lord gives them to us, but we are commanded to do to them everything that the Lord God has commanded us to do. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. It says, be strong and of good courage and do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, he says that in part because we want God to do everything. We want him to do it all, but we must be strong and of good courage or we will faint in the day of triumph. What do I mean by that? He says, I'm going to give you the land of the enemy. I'm going to destroy them. You go in and possess their land, and you do to the enemy everything that I command you to do. Sometimes we're afraid to do that. We're afraid to dispossess the enemy. We've got to be bold and courageous because sometimes, I mean, think about this. God sent them in and said, kill everybody. That takes boldness. If you're going to take possession of the land of the enemy, you've got to be willing to kill every devil that's there in your own life. Every fear, every stronghold, you've got to be willing to kill it. That takes courage. That takes a boldness that is beyond you. And the promise is, I will never leave you or forsake you. You be courageous, you be bold, you be confident, you obey me, you do what I said to do with the enemy, put the devil under your foot, don't keep him as a partner in your living room, don't invite him into your house, don't rent him space. You've got to be bold and courageous and obey me of what I told you to do to the enemy. Put him under your feet. Why? Because I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You're not doing this by yourself, he's saying. You're not going to be required to do all this and then come back to me and say, God, did we do good enough? He said, I'm with you. You're going to be able to do these things because I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Hallelujah. That's good news. See, this is why in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, he says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Isn't that powerful? He says, the reason that he's with us is that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'm not doing this by my own strength. I'm not doing this just because I want to. I'm not doing it out of revenge. I'm not doing it because I'm a nasty person. I'm doing it because this is what God has told me to do. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And it also gives you the courage. What can people do to me? Why should I be afraid of them? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is on our side, what does it matter how many the enemy has on the other side? Because one man can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. And we say, well, God, I need an army. God says, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm not going to leave you hanging out there by yourself. He said, I'm going to do this. But see, we rejoice when we hear that the victory is ours. But you must tread on the serpents and the scorpions. Some of the scorpions are big. Some of them are nasty. It's like, well, but they might sting me. But the Lord is with you. The longer you think about it, the bigger the scorpion seems to be. The more you meditate it and pray about it, you give the scorpion time to take the attack position. You know, get that tail up there. Come at me. Well, when you step on them, step on the stinger too. I mean, just take the whole thing out. See, the Lord is with you. Who can be against you? Amen? Now, let's go to 1 Chronicles 28:20. I love this one. This is another time when God uses this verse of, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, this one is David is talking to Solomon. And he tells Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Now, he's given him instructions about the temple. But does this remind you of anything recent? I think about Nike, just do it. I think about the one home improvement show on TV, just do it. You know, she's always, just do it, just do it, just do it. And God, here David is talking to Solomon. He says, Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Now get this, for the Lord God. And then David adds, my God. For the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Now get this. David said, my God, my God. Now, David was a warrior. David was a fighter. And he tells Solomon, the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He knows there's going to be a fight in this. And David is telling Solomon, you know, all things aren't going to be hunky-dory. All things aren't going to go just, oh, you're Solomon. Oh, we'll yield to you. Oh, we'll give up to you. Not everybody's going to do that. But it says, my God, the warrior God, the fighting God, the overcoming God, the God who reveals the plans of the enemies, the God who whispers in the mulberry tree, the God who sends his angels before us, the God, this is my God. Solomon, my God. As I was with Moses, Joshua, so I will be with you. And David is essentially telling Solomon, as God has been with me and has defeated every enemy that was that opposed me, my God will be with you and defeat every enemy before you also. But you've got to be of good courage. You've got to be bold. You've got to be confident. You can't be wimpy about this. He says, God will be with you until you have finished, completed every work. I like that. He'll be with you to the end. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we look at that so often as a temporary. Well, I know today, God's not going to leave me today, hallelujah, but I'm not too sure about tomorrow. What is a part of never? I will never leave you or forsake you. See, we think God's temperamental. You know, well, I'll be with you today because, boy, today I really feel good. But I don't know if, you know, because I'm God and I got all these headaches. I got all these people praying to me. I got all these issues coming up before me. Man, I hope I can remember you tomorrow. You know, if not, give me a ring and maybe I'll answer it. You know, no, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God is telling the nation of Israel, his people, I will never leave you or forsake you. He tells Joshua, I will never leave you or forsake you. God is telling Solomon through David, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. No matter what the problem is, no matter what the situation, you are not alone in this, but you have got to remember, be of boldness and have courage. You got to be willing to stand up and fight. If you want the warrior God on the inside of you, you got to be willing to fight. You can't go up to the enemy and charge up to his door. The Lord my God is with me. You know, he told me to tell you, you better obey me. No, they're going to look at you. Speak up, I can't hear you. Hello? You know, sometimes you rebuke the enemy, not because you don't know, but you want to be sure he hears you. Devil, get, leave. I give you no place. Well, that takes boldness. Well, what if somebody hears me through the next room? What if you get free? What if the devil leaves? How about if the devil just says, man, I'm backing up from this. My hands are off. See, David was a warrior. He thought like a warrior. This is why Jesus told the man who wanted to follow him but had to go home to say his goodbyes first. Jesus told him in Luke 9:62, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Be strong and very courageous. Psalm 47, verses 1 to 4. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. I like that. Awesome. He's awesome. Hallelujah. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. He will choose the inheritance. But let me tell you something. You've got to be willing to receive the inheritance. He's chosen the inheritance for us, but if you don't receive it, you don't have it. Be courageous, be bold, be confident about these things. Again, going back to Joshua 1:5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. He's given us an inheritance. He's given it to us, but we've got to be bold and confident to receive it, because if we don't receive the inheritance, it's lost to you. You won't get it. Not because God didn't give it, but because you never received it. Let's go to Joshua. I like this. Joshua 1, verses 6 through 9. I'll just read this real quick, if that's possible. He says, be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide an inheritance. See, he's got to be strong and courageous. I can preach out of this so easy. You've got to be strong and courageous because, Joshua, you're going to be the one to divide an inheritance, the inheritance of the land to the people. You're the one you're the one that's going to tell them how to do this. He goes on in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you, see, you've got to be bold because, one, God's putting you in charge. You're going to give other people, you're going to tell them where to go, what to do, where to go in a good sense. You're going to tell them what to do. So this belongs to you, that belongs to you. I like Caleb's attitude. He goes to Joshua and says, that mountain's mine. Joshua's still here looking at the map. Now, who gets what? And Caleb comes up, that's mine. Caleb's 120. That's mine. Doesn't matter how old you are. Caleb demanded his inheritance. God promised me that mountain. Joshua just said, okay. I'm not going to fight with you, man. You're serious about this. That's my mountain. Take it. Go right away. I think it's here on the map. If it's not, I'm going to pencil it in. You know, it's like, but you're getting that. Hallelujah. So only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. You got to obey the law. It takes courage and boldness and confidence for you to obey the law, for you to do what needs to be done. He says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, everybody say then, if you do all these things, then you shall make your way prosperous. Well, God, I want to prosper. Are you doing all this? Lord, I want to be blessed. Are you doing all these things? This is why it takes courage, it takes boldness, it takes confidence. I'm going to do this even when I feel like not doing it. I've got to stir myself up like David did at the battle. I've got to stir myself up. I've got to do the things I know are the right thing to do. He says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, I will not leave you. I will not depart from you. I will be with you all the time. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to give you one final verse, and I think Jesus is summing all this up. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, does that sound like meditate in my word day and night? Do not turn from it to the left or the right. If you abide, live, dwell, make your home in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. As you put the word into effect, as you begin to live by the word of God, by the revelation of God, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, when you understand the word of God, when you understand Christ in us, the hope of glory, when we begin to understand, you'll get free from all the limitations of the world, all the things that come against you. You'll get free of that because I'm now identifying with Jesus Christ. Because he will never leave me nor forsake me. For all of eternity, God is with me. Whom shall I fear? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory be to God. It's easier than standing on your hands. Glory to God. Father, I thank you that for your precious promises. I thank you, Father, for the inheritance that you have given to us as your sons and as your daughters. Father, I thank you. You didn't just birth us and walk away. But God, your promise and the word to us is that you will never leave us, never forsake us. We thank you, God. No matter what situation we're in, we are never alone. Never alone. Never alone. But you are our constant companion. And you're the one who upholds us in all things of life. Father, I pray for boldness and courage. I call, Father, for being courageous in our attitude toward you, that we will not let anything come between us and you. Lord, that we will not turn to the left or to the right, but our eyes, our ears, our meditations are set on you all the time. To remember who you are in us, that we can make our way prosperous and have good success. For this, God, we give you praise and we give you honor in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you.